Welcome to our programming, Falling Into Place, with hosts Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In a fast-moving world driven by news cycle anxiety, Jan and Michelle examine breaking global headlines, cultural shifts, and geopolitics through the lens of Scripture, concluding that, as the Bible predicted, all things are falling into place. Here is today's programming.
God is expecting us to understand the times and the seasons. God is interested that his children will know the times and the seasons so they will be ready. 1 Chronicles 12, he says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Sometimes in Israel he revealed it more to a certain tribe. But for us, as Paul said, there is no need for me to tell you because you perfectly know. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly. How can you know perfectly if your church doesn't teach it? How can you know perfectly if no one is telling you about it? The truth about God and his relationship with Israel has been completely, completely revealed in the scope of the Bible. Like Paul wrote to the church in Thessaloniki, there is no need for us to be reminded of this if we are students of the Bible.
Thank you, Amir Sarfati. And did you hear that? The Bible exhorts us to understand the times, according to 1 Chronicles 12. He wants us to be like the sons of Issachar who understood the times. Well, one of the greatest instruments in that endeavor is the church. But in many cases, the pulpits are silent. Very often, they're preaching the gospel, but they're not connecting the dots as to what on earth is happening and what the Bible says about our times. Some of you have found that there's some sound teaching online, and a few have found some good churches, and others of you, quite frankly, have given up on that. Well, in my opening discussion today, I want to talk with my co-host, Michelle Bachman, just what we would like to see our churches talking about to help us make us like the sons of Issachar who understood the times. We'll talk about other things as well. How about reminding us of the signs of the times and how they are converging? How about politics? Is that topic off limits? How about apologetics? Even those that differ with us. What does Islam believe? Is the rise of Islam a sign of the time? Well, I'm watching its rise in my hometown as we now have 40 mosques here in the Twin Cities. Joining me is my co-host, Michelle Bachman, who heads the Israel Institute at Regent University. And we're going to hit some current issues today, as we always do, and I'll share some video clips to complement our discussion. So welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you.
To the programming. And you heard my introductory comments there, what Amir had to say, 1 Chronicles 12. And yet sometimes our churches are not really, I mean, some are, let's give them credit, but many are not cooperating because they're not teaching what's called the whole counsel of God. They're not preaching and teaching from Genesis through Revelation. They're leaving crucial things out of the pulpit, including things we talk about, lateness of the hour, the importance of Israel. I slipped in their apologetics. How about discussing some things about Islam? And we will today. But as you talk to pastors, what do you hear?
Well, there's a lot of pastors who will say, well, we're just not going to be political.
Yes.
We refuse to be political. We're all about the gospel, and we're not going to be political. And to a person, I tell pastors, no one is asking you to be political.
Yeah.
We are asking you to be biblical. And like you said, from Genesis to Revelation,
right. So
much of Genesis really lays the table for our faith. And you've got to grapple with a lot of foundational issues in Genesis and understand that and understand what that means mm-hmm. for subsequent issues. But also, I think of all of the minor prophets.
Yes.
That's all the little books of the Bible at the very end of the Old Testament. They almost never get talked about in a sermon. And yet right now, at this moment in history, all those little books, the prophets at the at the end of the Old Testament, so many of them have key revelations about the end times, these last days.
Well, we talk about Zechariah and Joel all the time here.
Amos, all of them.
Yeah, all of them. Pastors have told me there are a few reasons why they avoid this. They feel like, well, for one, just to be blunt, they feel donations will go down. They feel that their seminary hasn't taught them properly. They say, we're not sure which theory, and they've used that word, in other words, theology, to believe. Are we amillennial? Are we dispensational? Are we a preterist? And we won't get into what all those things mean. Others tell me we don't want to scare people. And I think you and I feel, my goodness, the glorious message that the king is coming. How on earth could that possibly scare people? Well, then they say, well what about these creatures in Daniel and Revelation? And my people are going to be terrified by some of these things. So that's some of the feedback that I get back. And again, many seminaries are simply not teaching eschatology any longer.
No, and that's been true for decades, unfortunately. And so we're seeing the impact of it in the society because people aren't taught. They're not catechized, if you will. We don't know the word. And that is really a heartbreak, I think, for both of us. The lack of knowledge of the word, and my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we need pastors to be bold. But I think another thing we have to consider, churches now, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they're businesses. And I understand that they've got to have enough money to cash flow in order for the pastor and all the people to be paid. Churches either tend to be very, very big or smaller. You don't see as many mid-sized churches anymore. But so for that reason, there's a lot of boards, church boards, that are made up of people who are maybe business people or retired people, but they aren't necessarily as knowledgeable themselves about the word or appreciate how important it is that the pastor is unfettered in his ability to be able to preach the whole word and then support the pastor. So you really need to have unity in the church, and you need to have a board that will back up a pastor to preach the whole counsel of God.
Well, two topics are quite, I'll use the word sacred to us, and of course one would be a third of the Bible, end times, eschatology, doctrine of the last days, and then that what ties to that, of course, is Israelology, how Israel fits in past, present, and future. And my goodness, I don't know what's more abused than that. And what's taken over most churches today, and there are only a few exceptions, a few denominations that are the exception, is replacement theology. The church is the new Israel, which is one of the most horrific. It goes back to Augustine, so it's nothing new. But, I mean, the Catholic Church has began it so many
thousands. But it's a heresy. That's
Yes,
it's a heresy.
Because
the Bible
clearer.
Doesn't make sense.
No, would not make sense.
If you say that the Christian Church replaced Israel as the chosen ones, the chosen ones, then you completely upend what God said to Israel, that forever He would be with them forever.
Irrevocable.
He would bring them back. Irrevocable. And that He would be their God. And so how could you make a liar out of God?
Well, please read Romans 9, 10, and 11.
Yes.
Paul
figured it out.
Yes. So I think it's quite clear. But again, I think this is undoing a lot of church members because, again, the pulpit is telling them that after October 7th, it was Israel's fault. This is what came out of the pulpits, or silence, one or the other.
Well,
a lot of silence.
Part of that is that, you know, pastors want to go with popular culture. Yeah. What a huge mistake. Do not follow popular culture, because popular culture right now is anti-Israel.
Absolutely.
And that's not by accident. We've talked about this before. There's nations like Qatar, the chief funder of terrorism in the
that's
world.
That's right.
And they are funding a lot of anti-Israel propaganda, as well as other groups here in the United States and around the world. That impacts pastors.
Well, I think when it comes to eschatology, and particularly, Michelle, and you and I do monitor our times, as painful as it is, I think that people need to be reminded that the trials struggles, battles of this life are temporary, that they are coming mm-hmm. to an end, and we have a glorious future prepared yes. for us, and God wants us to know all about it, and he wants us to share. And that's what this ministry has tried to do for several decades,
as a matter
of fact. And it
gives great joy. So many people yes. came to the Lord in the 1970s yeah. and 80s, just learning about end times and the last yes. days and the joys of Jesus' return.
Yes. Well,
because he is coming back for
well,
his
Hal
bride.
Lindsey was a friend of mine. I had him here in Minneapolis twice, mm-hmm. and he told me at one of the conferences I had him for here, he said, I just wanted to write a simple book on how the last days would play out, because the only things out back when he started writing the eschatology emphasis were this thick, mm-hmm. scholarly.
Nobody could understand it.
Yeah, John yeah. Walvoord, you know, wonderful scholar and all, but we couldn't understand it. Mm-hmm. So he said, I wanted to put it in simple form. He wrote Late Great Planet Earth. Quite frankly, the rest is history. I want to play a clip because I'm just transitioning in the interest of time. And this is Tom Hughes, and he's talking, he's bringing out a topic that I think you and I need to mm-hmm. talk about. And we often talk that, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I say we live in Minnesota, Stan, and we're in Mogadishu on the Mississippi in Minnesota, but this is spreading from state to state to state to state. And I think Tom brings this out in this very short clip, if we could play number 4.
This is not Afghanistan, folks, but watch this short clip about what's been happening. Roll this. Get the idea, folks, that is not Afghanistan, that's not Saudi Arabia, that's not Qatar. That is right here in the United States of America. And this is not the end of it. Check this out. This was just posted. Apparently, this just happened the other day in Palo Alto, California. Look at this clip, real short. Make this go viral. This is Karen Levitt who posted this particular picture. Students of Palo Alto High School in California were forced to take a field trip to a mosque, and girls were told to wear hijabs, and students were given Qurans. Jewish parents have stepped in and have filed a federal lawsuit. Good. Listen, this stuff is evil. So that's in Palo Alto. That is up near, there is Silicon Valley.
How do civilizations die? The great British historian Arnold Toynbee asked himself this question. Here is his answer. They die not by murder, but by suicide. We in the West, the inheritors of the greatest civilization ever created, are witnessing this right before our very eyes.
So, Michelle, as we speak, Europe is unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering how soon America is going to be unrecognizable. We're in the process. Only 1% of America is Muslim. 60% is Christian. And yet we can see what's happening is, again, the Islamization of America. And it's been going on for 30 years.
Well, the analogy that I think of is a high school football game. Mm-hmm. And you have one team on the field wearing their jerseys, and they're actively pushing the ball down the field. The other team doesn't even know the game has started.
Yes.
And that's really what's happening. A lot of, I think, Christians are just people who are kind of in the middle. They have no clue what's going on. This is happening all around us. They aren't organized. They don't know how to push back. They don't know how to demand our civil rights in all of this. And so the article that you put up about Palo Alto, I read that article,
yeah.
and those students were also forced to not only put on hijabs, but bow down on prayer mats. They were taught to say words, Islamic words, in an Islamic prayer. So this is This is so far beyond. This is a violation of civil rights to force someone to do this. But then also on the flagpole in front of Newark City Hall, this, what they, if you heard the language, they were saying Allahu Akbar.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And Allahu Akbar means God is greater, meaning the Islamic God. Well, compare and contrast that to the book of Exodus, to the very first commandment of God, that we are to have no other God before us. So we're all taught about church separation of church and state, but here you have the city hall in Newark raising a flag while they're shouting, God is greater. So a false God, we know that Allah is a false God. Allah has to bow to the God of the Bible. So Allah is being praised. Can you imagine a Christian flag being hoisted? It would never happen. So what we need to do is get busy filing lawsuits, pushing back. But more importantly, we've got to tell the truth about the Bible. We've got to advance Christianity. That's what we need to do. We came to the Lord during the excitement of the early 1970s, and that energized for decades the United States of America and revitalized America. America probably would have collapsed much sooner if there wouldn't have been a revitalization of Christianity. Yes, Islam is taking over, secularism is taking over in Europe, but it's rising here now. But that's because Christianity imploded in Europe. And so we need strength and the revival of the word and the power of the word. Yeah. And believers obeying the word. That's what we need to do.
Well, here's a pastor who's pushing back, and I'd like to see more of this, and I'd like to see more pastors, obviously, but just your average ordinary American pushing back, because, you know, we see a lot of people who are organizing. I mean, progressives are organizing, socialists are organizing, LGBT are organizing, and Christians and conservatives are sort of on the sidelines spectating, but not this pastor, if we could play clip 8.
But you're only 1% of this nation. We are not a nation of Muslims. We are a nation of Christians. We are one nation under God, indivisible, the God of the Bible, the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God in whom we serve. I want you to prove to me we're not up under Sharia law. Will you denounce Councilman O'Reilly? Will you denounce Sharia law? Will you denounce Sharia law? Will you denounce? I know you won't. Will you denounce Sharia law? Abraham, you went to Hillsdale. Will you renounce Sharia law? Will you renounce Sharia law? America, we have lost this city. This is a city that is no longer up under American laws. We are up under Sharia law. And we will not have it anymore.
Remaining.
Enough is enough.
Your thoughts?
He gave the exact right message, because what people need to understand, Sharia is not just simply religious law. It is an entire way of life.
Yeah.
And for people who follow Islam, the Constitution isn't their guide. It is Sharia law that's their guide. And that's what's happened in parallel societies all across the Western Europe and Eastern Europe, but here in the United States too, where we have Sharia law. So we're not a united nation. We're becoming a divided nation, because some people's allegiance to Sharia is out-precedenting the allegiance to the Constitution. And this is where Christians need to wake up and recognize, where have you ever seen assimilation with the Islamic community? They do not assimilate. They come in and they dominate and they conquer. And it's because their allegiance isn't to the Constitution. Their allegiance is to Sharia law.
Well, even in Michigan, this Abdul El-Sayed, I mean, Mike, he has a good chance of winning in November in Michigan for United States Senate. Can you imagine?
Well, and take a look at who he is. He has been groomed. He's been groomed by the George Soros types to be a candidate. So he's what I would consider a fake plant candidate. Somebody found him and said, ooh, let's put him in a position of power, because he wants Sharia law. He went to Oklahoma.
He wants
Sharia law. He went to Oklahoma because Oklahoma was putting forth a law to ban Sharia in the state of Oklahoma. He went there to campaign against that because he wants Sharia law. Now he's running for the U.S. Senate, but we need to know who he is. His mother has worked for an organization that that had ties to the financing of the Taliban, Hamas, Hezbollah. His father found that living in as a Muslim in Egypt, it wasn't radical enough for him. So he wanted to come to America and live in Dearborn. His sister is a radical professor who was indicted for hitting a cop at a protest. So this is the people that he comes from. His father is a part of ISNA, the Islamic Society of Northern America, and he's at the top of the heap of the echelon on this organization. Mm-hmm. So he's not a lone wolf. He's surrounded by an entire family of radicals, and this radical who loves Sharia law is trying to become the first United States senator who's a Muslim so that he can be a part of turning America away from our Constitution and turning us toward Sharia law, Islamic law.
Well, then you have our own Peggy Flanagan, and you talk about...
She's the current lieutenant governor of Minnesota.
Lieutenant governor, running for governor. You talk about strong delusion. You talk about somebody who's been given over to a lot of things, including insanity and foolishness. If we could just play this 30-second clip, clip number 6, please.
Of course, in blue states that are deep blue, like Minnesota, far-left Democrats like Senate candidate Peggy Flanagan, they're not as worried about the socialist label. Flanagan is a well-known leftist and reassures the DSA voters in other ways. You know, she says, like, I'm basically wink, wink, I'm with you. And let's not forget that she doesn't just pander to her communities, she dresses up too.
Assalamu alaikum. My name's Peggy Flanagan. I am the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, and I'm really honored and humbled to be here with all of you today. I am incredibly clear that the Somali community is part of the fabric of the state of Minnesota.
She clearly believes the Somali vote and liberal women in places like Edina are going to be enough to seal her victory.
Got to chuckle. Look, I grew up in Edina. It's not the same, believe me. Now we've got Somali gangs roaming the streets of Edina. But again, Michelle Bachmann, the essence of deception, delusion, strong delusion, being given over. I mean, who thinks like this?
Well, it's all theater. It's all performative arts. And that's what she's doing. Because remember the timing of all this. This clip was December of 25.
Yeah.
So this was, what, 8 months ago that she did this? 8 months ago. So we had all of this fraud that was being
exactly
exposed.
Exactly at the same
the Nick
time.
Nick Shirley fraud. So Nick Shirley was showing this, and some estimates are $19 billion. Some say $19 billion in fraud in Minnesota. And so what did she do? So here you have all the fraudsters.
Yes.
So she's not standing with the Minnesotans who were defrauded. She's standing with the fraudsters. This is a criminal organization as far as I'm concerned. You've got the Democrat Party covering for all these fraudsters, and they're making sure that they're getting the money. And there's all this payback and kickback and, you know, allegedly, reportedly, that's what it is. And I'll tell you, it is shocking to me. That alone should be enough to deny her a Senate seat. So if you've got a U.S. Senate made up of people not like Scoop Jackson or Hubert Humphrey, but made up of El Said and a Peggy Flanagan, does it take much of an imagination to realize how fast we're going to flip to Islam and we're going to be conquered?
Does not bode well for America. Absolutely not.
So take a note. I mean, these primaries, the general election that's coming up, the Christians will be the ones that will cause the United States to fall off the cliff. There are more of us than there are of them. And if we sit on our hands and we don't vote for people who stand for the U.S. Constitution and for the Word of God, then we will fall to communism and we will fall to Islamism. It's completely preventable. But those who call on Allah, on His name, they think this is their moment. And we have to prove that they're wrong.
Well, one more person who's getting a lot of press, and you and I talk about him quite often, this Hassan Piker. His heritage is Turkish, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And his uncle is from the Young Turks on TV.
Uyghur, I believe his name is. So I do want to play a clip of this gentleman. But What he's saying here, this Hassan Piker in this clip, is, because it's a little hard to understand. First of all, he's mocking Charlie Kirk and the death and everything, and you'll see it in just a moment. We are Charlie Kirk. We carry the flame. We'll fight for the gospel. We'll honor his name. Now, all of that is said, obviously, in a mocking way, singing off-key, and just to add to the mockery.
And another topic on politics, far-left streamer Hassan Piker kicking up a hornet's nest of outrage after leading a crowd and singing a song mocking Charlie Kirk over the weekend. Here's how it went. So that sparked furious reaction online. Turning Point spokesman Andrew Colvett posting, Hassan Piker is engaging in pure, unadulterated evil.
Well, Michelle, the Bible says in the last days, evil will wax worse and worse, and good will be called evil will be called good. And my goodness, these kinds of illustrations, we could sit here half the afternoon and play some more of these, but give me your thoughts.
Well, this 34-year-old single guy, who is a part of the Young Turks, he is the spokesman for the Democrat Party today.
He is
the one that all the Democrats fear. So think of the Democrat Party like a dog, and then think of a parasite that jumps on the back of the dog and rides it. That's what people are watching right now. The parasite is the Democrat Socialists of America. Yeah. They're not a political party, but they jumped on the back of the Democrat Party, which is the dog in this illustration, and they're taking it over. They're taking over the Democrat Party and riding it to victory for candidates like El Said and all of the communists and all of the Democrat Socialists of America and Hassan Piker, who's a filthy mouth. We can't run the clips because every other word is a filthy, filthy word. Yeah. And he is their guy. He's their man. He was dressed up in that clip you just showed, wearing a Mao Zedong outfit. So this cat literally has said that Mao Zedong is one of the greatest leaders in history. So he's a communist. He's an Islamist. More than anything, he's a dunderhead who is being used to advance the takeover of the United States for Islam. And youth are running to this. They think it's cool. Why? He spends his whole day sitting on Twitch. It's called Twitch. Yeah. And he's playing video games with his filthy mouth. And he's anti-American. His words are anti-Israel, anti-Jew. He's like, if you had him knock on the door and ask your daughter out for a date, you would never let that happen. This is not the guy you want. And yet this guy is now worth millions. He just bought a huge house in West Hollywood. And so he's the coolest thing going for the Democrat Party. But let me tell you, and again, we're not here to be partisan. We're just telling you what they're promoting. What their agenda is, the destruction of America.
Exactly.
They want to get rid of the U.S. Constitution. So this is their stated objective. Before, they used to hide it a little bit. Now there's no hiding. Yeah. With this Hassan Piker, just at the anniversary of Charlie Kirk's murder, he was murdered in cold blood on live TV. Yeah. He was assassinated. And this was a born-again believer who was pushing the gospel of Jesus Christ, pushing marriage, pushing having children. And that's the guy they want to mock. That's the guy they want to revile. Yeah. Why? Because Charlie Kirk stood for the gospel and the advancement of the gospel. And so now one of the political parties in the United States, half the people in the United States who'd be voting, he's their leader. This guy is their leader. We have got to wake up. Pastors have to wake up.
That's my point.
Because they proselytize. And so pastors need to start proselytizing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 25 years ago, almost to the day, short time here, a tragedy happened known as 9/11. And whoever could have thought that after 9/11, we'd still be having this kind of a conversation. Yeah. Now, granted, after 9/11, Just 8 years later, America elected a president with the middle name of Hussein. I didn't think that was possible. And again, when that happened, our leaders said we lacked the imagination to comprehend that this could happen. Well, at that time, granted, we'd had a terror attack on the World Trade Towers in 1993, and we'd had some things in the 80s as well, but nothing on the level of 9/11. But they lacked the imagination to perceive that our enemy could fly jumbo jets into our tallest buildings and launch a war that's been going on now 25 years.
Absolutely. That's still going on. They are at war with us. We have still gone back to sleep, but they have launched it.
Yeah, yeah. And beyond that, we have New York elected a mayor, Mr. Mamdani.
And we've never had an election season like the 2026 election season, because Democrat socialists have been elected. We have a Democrat socialist that is running for the U.S. Senate in Florida
Of all states.
She won the nomination in Florida, Colorado, in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, all across New York.
That's right.
And at state House and state Senate levels, this is a huge quantum leap forward for the Communist Party. And this is a revolution. That's their plan. They want a revolution in the United States to kick out. And so you have communists aligning with Islamists, and they have the same goal, because they want to do away with the U.S. Constitution and instead establish Sharia law, but under communism. So the economic system is fine if it's communism, because their plan is they're just going to steal and plunder what our nation has for themselves, and then we're the ones that are going to be persecuted. So people need to understand, as painful as 9/11 was on September 11th, they intend even greater terror for us and greater demise for the United States.
Exactly right. Yeah, well, the family members of those that were lost in 9/11 are pleading with the mayor of New York City not to attend activities.
The 9/11.
I think that he probably will, just to be in their face. But, I mean, this is Islam again, folks. Any other thoughts as we wrap up 9/11 here? Because
it's
coming up
very soon. Well, that we can never forget the attack that came against the United States. And we can never forget what happened with October 7th to Israel.
Exactly.
That's their
9/11. There is a parallel. Yes.
There's a parallel between the two. And there is judgment that God allows on nations. So we received a horrific judgment in our own nation. Israel has as well. To me, this is just another ding of the bells telling us, wake up. Wake up. The Jesus is coming soon. We need to be a bride prepared, and we need to be ready before the Lord.
I think that's really a good thought. Jesus is coming soon. And because all the last days warnings, again, perilous times, evil will wax worse and worse. Good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. And my goodness, we're seeing that play out
but
daily.
The church is waking up. I believe they are. You know, one thing that you've done is you've promoted the 40 days of prayer and fasting.
I was just going to lead you there, please.
And we have been doing the 40 days of prayer and fasting, and I want to encourage your viewers to come and join us at 40 days of prayer and fasting. Come to regent.edu/Israel and you can join us. It is live every day at 9 a.m. Central Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And what I have seen is hearts are broken and hearts are mending, because when we have this appointed time of the year, when we return to the Lord, in other words, we ask the Lord to look inside of us, we repent, and then we turn toward His things, we turn toward His word, we turn toward obedience to the things of the Lord. That's what He's looking for. Jesus says in the book of John, He is looking for obedient hearts. And we can't be obedient if we don't know the word. So this is that time, and I want to encourage all of the viewers to come and join us for the 40 days of prayer and fasting. We'll continue to do this through September 21st, and your lives and your hearts will be changed, and you'll set it up for this upcoming year, because now with Rosh Hashanah, we're seeing the head of the new year on the biblical calendar. That's when the new year begins biblically.
Right.
And so we're giving the Lord our first fruits.
Well, this is, I think you should remind them, this is a partial fast, because
yes.
some people have written me and said they can't possibly
no,
fast.
No, I'm not talking about giving up all food and hiding in a cave for 40 days. No, still resuming your life. And, you know, I usually don't tell people what I do, but this time I gave up coffee and I gave up sugar. Some people do that. Some people give up an occasional meal or they give up an electronic device. It's however the Lord leads you. But the benefit is that I was telling Jan, what I find is that when I want a cup of coffee or when I want to eat sugar, then all of a sudden I remember, that's right, I'm returning to the Lord. And so then I go back to what the Lord is saying to me and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to my mind and reading the word and giving him that time that he deserves. So it's a complete change. It's like I'm getting a tune-up, a spiritual tune-up, and that's what's happening to the people that join us from literally all over the world, from England, from Japan, from all over the world. They're joining us, Jan, and they see us on your podcast and on your radio show that you formerly had, and believers are coming together because they, too, want to have a spiritual tune-up and to return to the Lord.
Yeah. Well, we'll put all that information on the screen here as we're talking. Michelle, thank you again. I appreciate we're doing these updates as often as we can. My goodness. And you've been doing the prayer and fasting here for 6 years. I believe we launched it on my program about 6 years ago. And I'm sure you've seen changes over those 6 years.
Miracles. I'm not kidding. Every year, miracles have happened. I've experienced them personally in my own life, and other people have as well. And so I'm praying now for the Israel Institute that we're launching. Yes. I'm asking God for wisdom for that. And I know he will answer.
Well, this is encouraging because, frankly, we've spent over a half an hour talking about some pretty grim things that are going on. And I think that, you know, there is another side, and that is God is on the throne and prayer changes things.
Right. It's the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's returning to our first love. In the book of Revelation, that's what Jesus's admonition is to the church. Return to your first love. That's what we're doing. That's what we want. We want people to join 40 Days and, frankly, to watch this podcast because we want to encourage people to return to their first love.
Well, folks, I know times can be discouraging. I know that I hear from you all the time. Some of you have so many dilemmas going on in your life, and that's partly because it's the last days. And again, I already said they're going to be perilous times. And there are people issues. I mean, I think of the verse in 2 Timothy 3, lovers of self, lovers of money. If you go on in that verse, you'll read about people having without natural affection. In other words, relationships that were once normal are suddenly completely askew. It's because we are in those last days. But I say all that just to wind this presentation down, reminding you that honestly, nothing is falling apart. Everything instead is falling into place. Now, I want to remind you that our print magazine comes out next week. If you'd like to sign up for that, it's quarterly, olivetreeviews.org. Sign up for the e-newsletter. It's different information and content, olivetreeviews.org. And just go to our newsletter and then check our online store as well. I want to thank you for joining us as we do these here. Every week or two, we'll try to bring an update and help you better understand how nothing's falling apart. All things are falling into place. Bowing before you,
blessing your name. Thanks for joining us today. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Monday through Friday at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Join us for each program as we look up, count down, and see how all the predicted events of the Bible are falling into place.